Whatever. VTuber.
Okay. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome. Hello.
This is the 50 Worst Dates podcast. My name's Amanda.
And my name's Katie.
And we're here to talk about some shit.
Oh, as we always are.
You know it.
You fucking know it, man. Yeah. Hello. This is the 50 Worst Dates podcast where we talk about bad dates, relationships, life, astrology, bad personality tests I've had to take at work, and a bunch of other stuff. It's cool. It's fun. You listen to it. Good job.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to rate and review this and subscribe and stuff.
Rate, review, subscribe. It's like YouTube, but better.
Rate on iTunes. Review on iTunes. Subscribe wherever the heck you want. I don't really care. Just like tell the people about us. Share us in your Instagram stories. You know, the basics. Mm-hmm. The basics. You can share us directly via Spotify so your friends can like tap on it and immediately go listen. They don't have to like look it up or like know our name, whatever. Highly recommend that. Mm-hmm. Do that Spotify, bitch. But yes, hello. Welcome. Mercury is in Gatorade again. Mm-hmm. Breaking news. Mercury is in Gatorade. But it's really in retrograde. And that phrase is obtuse. And we'll get to why it's kind of dumb. Oh, I just reached my move goal for the day.
How do you?
I'm not moving, but whatever. Yeah, so your technology may not work properly. That was my horoscope. My horoscope was like, bitch, you better get a good OtterBox on your phone because you're about to break it. It's also Aquarius and going to be Pisces season. There's an Aries and Venus or something, apparently, which is apparently my Aries. I don't know what that means. That just means that I'm a fiery asshole, which is correct. And during this trying astrological time, what is a bitch to do? Should you get better at communicating or try harder with no hopes of real improvement until March 10th? Sure. Because this week, per my monologue, we're talking about communication, understanding styles of communication, understanding how people communicate, recognizing that in other people and how their qualities of communication, like just basically like, are you listening? Do you know how you listen? Do you know how you talk to people? Do you understand how they talk to you and how they structure what they're talking about? Because it's a pretty understated asset in really getting an idea of what the hell everybody else is saying. And whether that's like just people in your life, a partner, some dude that you just found on Tinder, or like your coworkers, whatever it might be. This is an important time to take a step back because Gatorade is upon us and have a communication vibe check. Hashtag vibe check. It's also a really good opportunity for Amanda to define things. Fun fact, next week I have a surprise for Amanda, and that's that the episode is going to be us defining dumb shit.
What?
Yeah, I'll do it all for you.
True love.
I'll do it all for you.
Bless.
So, we're going to go to this lovely commercial break.
I want you to say, oh, never mind.
What?
Never mind. The next line, but we can wait.
I know. We'll get there. After the break. Break has been had. Now I can ask you the question.
What is the question?
My dear darling Amanda. Mercury retrograde. What does that mean?
Bum, ba, da, da. Did I hear definition time?
It's definition time with Amanda. Ta-da.
Woo! In so if you refer back to episode 17, I think.
Obviously you do.
In a previous,
you probably like, guys, you already talked about Mercury Gatorade.
Yes.
Because you've made this joke 1,000 times already.
Yes. In a previous episode, I very much so detailed what Mercury retrograde is. But alas, I will still provide a brief recap for those who are newly tuning in or have forgotten or didn't care or didn't listen to the episode.
Or whatever. Struggling with their technology and communication and just needed you to do it now.
Exactly. But happy first Mercury Gatorade of 2020. This refresher course is brought to you by the Farmer's Almanac and bodyandsoul.com. Wow. Retrograde, per definition of the astrological sense, is when a planet appears to go backward in its orbit as viewed from Earth. It is an optical illusion because the planet doesn't actually go backward, but this happens when Mercury laps us in its orbit around the sun, because it only takes 88 days to orbit, whereas obviously the Earth is 365, or 66 this year. But I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of that because A, that's too much science for me right now, and B, I just don't care. But in astrology, Mercury is...
No, you need to teach the people how gravity works.
Yeah, right? Like, no, that's Newton. That's not me, honey.
No.
That's my brother, not me.
No.
In astrology, Mercury is responsible for communication, technology, and travel. When it enters retrograde, we expect delays, spontaneous changes, confusion, basically everything going wrong, misunderstandings, and miscommunication. Also, according to my notes, this was the moment where I found out that Mercury will be in retrograde from June 18th to July 12th, and I'm mad, or I was mad, because my birthday is July 11th. So that's frustrating, but it is what it is. The central theme of this year's first retrograde is, quote, getting lost as directions become hazier. I guess this means like literally getting lost, or also figuratively getting lost.
Will Google Maps go down? Stay tuned.
Yeah, right. Will your life just go off track? Who fucking knows?
Who knows?
According to Natasha Weber, who is a cool astrologist, the trick, right? The trick to surviving Mercury's retrograde is to engage in any activity that begins with RE. So redo, reorganize, reconsider, review.
So reduce, reuse, recycle, Rihanna.
For our Broad City fans out there. Absolutely. Yeah. As you can tell, Katie and I are of the same brain, so it's fine. So yeah, do as Rihanna does. And if you want to Marie Kondo your life, this is apparently the time to do it. But per usual, be mindful of making big decisions, and don't rely heavily on technology to be your best friend during this time. This Gatorade will end on March 10th. So it's, you know, 3-4-ish weeks, but we can do it.
So quick flip.
Basically, if anything goes wrong in your life, just blame it on Mercury and retrograde. Just kidding.
100%.
But like, now that you know what it is, you totally can.
Yeah. You, now that you have the facts, you have a very convincing bullshit argument about why Mercury retrograde is the reason everything's messed up.
But I think that, I mean, I think it's totally valid. And that's not just because I'm like a big old fan of astrology, but I don't know. My partner and I, the day retrograde started, he and I, we didn't get into an argument, like we weren't arguing, but I basically had expressed that I was like frustrated with lack of communication or something like that. And he was like, I don't know. I just feel like I have not been present, like not being good at communicating. And then I realized that it was Mercury in retrograde, or Mercury retrograde. And I was like, oh fuck. So that's been fun. And I was like, just blame it on Mercury. It's fine.
Yeah, I warned my partner before it started. I was like, Tuesday, or no, today's Tuesday, Monday, retrograde happens. Actually, you better text me.
It actually started the 16th, so Sunday.
Oh, even better.
But yeah.
Whenever it was, I was like, you better make sure to text me, because retrograde will get you.
Yep.
And he was like, that's okay, whatever you say.
Yeah.
Healthy. But in the subject of relationships, because as you guys, you've been listening recently, you know, we're shacked up. How many annoying ass plot lines can you think of in your favorite sitcom or literature or whatever it might be that just stem from a misunderstanding? Ross says that they were on a break. Rachel does not believe that the break means he can fuck the girl from the copy store. Juliet does the poisony thing and is ridiculous when she could have just, like, in 2020, like, texted her, like, 14-year-old boyfriend, oh, I'm gonna fake kill myself so my parents leave me the fuck alone. But, like, truly, think of your preferred shows. Think of your preferred media and think of how many situations are just, like, that ironic, like, you know the truth, it's the viewer, but they don't know. Yeah, because effective communication is so fucking vital to all of our relationships, but specifically our romantic ones. And knowing yourself and knowing how to communicate is essential to just getting through life in general. You gotta know your shit, or you end up like Juliet and you're gonna have to stab yourself in the gut because you're so sad about your dead boyfriend, or you're fucking the girl from the copy store when Jennifer Aniston is your girlfriend. Like, all bad vibes. All bad. So there are a million things. I did a bunch of research, guys. You're about to be on a ride with me. There are a million things that play into your style of communication, which includes gender, age, culture. And this made me also think of most of the time when I argue with my parents, we reach a point where we aren't even arguing about the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you just kind of like pass each other. Where like, I'm like, oh my God, immigrants are people. And they're like, socialism. Yeah. Elizabeth Warren has good plans for things. She's a woman. That's a whole bag of fucking worms, y'all. But very often we'll get to the point in our communication where we're not even talking about the same thing. We're not conceptualizing things the way the person across the table is conceptualizing them. The most effective communicators I've ever met are all people who go to therapy once a week and teach them to be better. But I, in an effort to be cheaper than therapy, I've broken down some things for you here today. So if you go to a website called Leadership IQ, you will meet a very douchey man. And his name is Mark Murphy. And he's written a bunch of books about working and truth and talking and being a good communicator. And he just looks like a douchebag. But I want you to get past the douchiness of this CNBC commentator. And I want you to scroll over to what is your communication style. And you don't even need to take the quiz. Don't take the quiz because he wants to get your email. Just scroll down and be like, oh, which communicator am I? And there are four types.
I took the quiz though.
What did you get, honey?
Can I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got personal communicator. So what does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means you value emotional language and connection and use that as your mode of discovering what others are really thinking. You find value in assessing not just how people think, but really how they feel. You tend to be a good listener and diplomat. You can smooth over conflicts, and you're typically concerned with the health of your numerous relationships. The plus of being a personal communicator is that your communication allows to build deep personal relationships with others. People will often turn to you as the glue that holds groups together. And you're typically able to pick up vibes that others may miss because you're attuned to the emotional aspect of communication. The potential downside is that you may occasionally be derided as touchy-feely. For example, when dealing with analytical communicators, people who like data, hard numbers, logical discussions, and dislike that warm, fuzzy stuff, it's possible for personal communicators to become easily exasperated and emotionally upset. And goddamn, is that motherfucker.
That's right? You. That's you. That's you very much to T. And there are four groups here. Amanda's a personal communicator, very, very clearly. There are intuitive communicators, which I kind of lean towards, but I don't like the description. Intuitive communicators are unemotional and freeform. They want bottom line communications that are short and to the point that don't waste their time.
Oh, that's definitely you.
I think at its core, that's me. Analytical communicators are unemotional but linear. They want competent communications that convey expertise, including hard facts and numbers. Functional communicators are emotional and linear. They like to have control of the process, so give them process-oriented and linear communications that start with A, then flow from B to C, all the way to Z. So it really kind of like breaks down, and I think it goes with a lot of the quizzes you'll take in a professional setting or an academic setting where you're figuring out your style of management. This reminds me very much of the DISC profiling that I've had to take at work that I found to be interesting, but like weird. Basically, if you're a D, you're a huge asshole, but they like frame it as really like you're a leader. But I was like, this sounds like a dick. Why are you like this?
Yeah.
Basically, there are all these groups and all these methods of communication. Figuring out who you are and how you do it is helpful to reflect on how you behave and how you use it. Amanda's very emotional. We need to give her an emotional response. We need to give her an emotional argument if she's going to make a decision. I'm very intuitive. I don't need the emotion. I need the basics, the bullet points, the pros and the cons. It's very simple to the point for me. For Amanda, it may also be simple and to the point, but in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that about yourself, while super analytical and businessy and profile-y, is weird. I think it's really important where you can say, okay, this person in my life is clearly analytical. I've definitely dated analytical communicators, and they like don't get why you would be upset about something, because upset isn't something that you can plot on a graph.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very hard to communicate that. But you do have to, if you care about that person, you have to come to their level and you have to be able to put it in their terms. So I think there are a couple different takeaways you can have from this. But I think overall, not only looking at who you are, definitely like take the quiz and look at it, or just like play back my responses of what they are a bunch of times. Just like really get us those plays, guys. But take the time and really think about like how you act and how other people act around you, because it's important and it just gives you a chance to reflect. And that's one of those rewords that we talked about earlier. Reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Reorder. Reduce. Reuse. Recycle.
Rihanna.
And yeah, that's all I really wanted to bring to your attention this week. You should take a quiz, because you bitches loved when we had the BDSM quiz, which I was recently watching. High Maintenance, and they take that quiz on the show.
Amazing.
And they said it was bullshit, and I was like, excuse me, it's great.
Clearly they're just upset because they're probably lame as hell.
They all got rope funny, and we got rope funny, and I was like, no, that's mine. No.
I didn't get rope bunny.
Oh, yes.
I got Brett.
You didn't get rope bunny.
Rope bunny was on my list, but it wasn't like my top two were Brett and I think Switch.
I was a Switch and a rope bunny. My boyfriend's a fucking brat. He got like 100% brat, and he'll still bring it up.
That's funny.
I'm a brat. I'm like, shut okay. up. We're in Whole Foods.
Are you Yasmin or are you, you know, Brat Stalls?
Yeah. A Chloe or a Yasmin? Like,
nah. I thought it was, is it Chloe or is it Cleo? No, it's Chloe.
I don't know. It was something stupid.
They were wild. I loved my Brat Stalls though. I wanted to be Yasmin.
I loved getting them for your birthday, and when they were wrapped up, you knew exactly what the fuck they were because they had that trapezoid-shaped box.
Yeah.
TBT to that experience. Oh, goodness.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. But yeah, guys, take a quiz. Is there a quiz of what brats are you?
Oh, let's find out.
What brats doll are you? BuzzFeed.
Okay. Which brats doll are you? Okay, let's take this shit.
What was your favorite subject in school? Chemistry?
Don't read it out loud. Don't read it out loud. I know everything about fashion.
Oh my God. What nickname suits you the most? Oh no, this is such a big decision.
Bunny Boo, get the fuck out.
Am I Bunny Boo? Cool Cat, Pretty Princess, or Angel? Cool Cat and Pretty Princess are pretty, that's someone, interchangeable someone, for me. This is the
someone
problem.
Calls me Pretty Princess, so I guess that's that.
Is it your mom?
No. It's like a it's my like nurse specialist coworker. She's like this middle-aged woman and she calls me Pretty Princess and I'm like,
that's adorable. Yeah. What's your vice? Alcohol is not on here.
Clumsy.
I hate, indeed. What's your dream? Oh my God. Advice column writer? I am an advice podcaster, but really it's pop star.
I'm inspired by Harajuku fashion. Get the fuck out.
Is it 2007? Oh, wait. It's Bratz Dolls. It is. I'm into street style and copying what all the pop divas are wearing. I am wearing only baggy clothes. Thank you, Billy. I wore leopard print yesterday.
Oh, what do I want? Chunky platforms, flats, trainers.
I got, are you ready?
Yeah.
I got Yasmin, who was my favorite.
Incredible.
You're always experimenting with fashion and mixing vintage pieces with your urban style. You love to sing, but you're too afraid to let your talent shine. But you've promised your bezies you'll work on that whole confidence thing. You love life and are always sticking up for the underdog.
Ooh, okay, okay. I got Chloe. You're ethereal and down to earth, and you're always there for your friends. You have an artistic side and can be found at galleries or taking cute photos of your friends for your photography portfolio. You're into every sport possible, from motocross to skateboarding and football. You're also very clumsy. They ain't fucking wrong. I literally ate shit like 2 weeks ago on some stairs.
Honestly, if you told me you're gonna get into motocross, I wouldn't really. I would believe you.
Sounds about right.
Sounds
that's
right.
That's pretty
like
spot on.
I'm gonna get into miniature making. It's pretty spot on.
And that's
what I'm telling you guys. Take a personality quiz this Mercury retrograde. Oh, yeah. It's really, really introspect on yourself.
Oh, you should take the color quiz. That one's fun. Which color are you?
Which color?
And like, it's like an actual quiz. Because it, yeah. Ooh. But we're not going to do, you're not going to do that right now.
We're not going to do it right now. Okay, we're not going to do it right now.
I can hear her typing it.
I got really excited. But basically, guys, that weird break was to tell you that I'm Yasmin.
And I'm Chloe.
Amanda's Chloe. I'm an intuitive communicator. She's a personal communicator. And taking time during this Mercury retrograde to figure out how you communicate and how you can utilize strategies given to you by some douchey guy from CNBC isn't a bad use of your time, because I did it this week. So it better not be a bad use of your time.
I mean,
thank you.
I love taking personality quizzes because I love doing a lot of introspection. And I feel like
this is the perfect time.
I know.
To do
and
it.
I feel like there is. There's a lot of benefit from it, because even if it's not wholly accurate, there's something that you'll learn about yourself. And so take a bunch of personality quizzes that are like vetted, not just like, I mean, you can take a bunch of BuzzFeed ones, like make your perfect breakfast and we'll tell you like what banana you are. And like you can take.
Which one of these old ladies are
yeah,
you?
Right? It's like my favorite. And so. You can do a quiz like that, or you can do like the Enneagram, the color, which color are you? I'm a blue, by the way, and my Enneagram is 4.
I truly can't find any research on Enneagrams and relationship compatibility, and it makes me sad because I wanted to do a whole episode
about
it.
Right. But yeah, so, you know, do some introspection, and that's actually something that my therapist told me to do as well. So this is like therapy vetted. She told me to do, she's like, get to know yourself better. Take a bunch of personality quizzes. Yeah. And that's going to help you, because learning how you communicate and learning how people in your life communicate is so key to maintaining relationships, especially as we get older. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you're in high school and all this and like junior high and all this bullshit, you know, drama happens, and it's typically always because of communication. But when you finally like are past high school, are past college, and like truly into adulthood, you know, that's typically where people start getting more mature, mm-hmm. especially guys, because men, they really don't mature until like 25.
You need that frontal lobe to really close up and do whatever it needs
to do. I think it's very important, and it's helped me a lot in the way that I approach situations. Granted, my job is literally just communication, but I think it's very pivotal, especially when even like in our friend group that we have, you know, each of us is so different in the way that we communicate. And when mm-hmm. there are issues, it's really handy to know, okay, well, this person is this way, and so I'm going to have to approach it this mm-hmm. way. And it's very beneficial.
Yeah, reflect on yourself, reflect on the people in your life.
Exactly.
Because whether or not it's your partner, it's some person that you're talking to, it's your friend, it's your roommate, it's your boss, it's your coworker, it's that bus driver who doesn't like you, like, figure it out. And I'm sure you can benefit your relationship by taking that minute to be introspective and think about it and really approach it in a strategic and positive
way. Absolutely. So, I wanted to kind of dive into the subject of to be a better communicator in relationships, because obviously this is a relationship podcast.
Oh, yeah.
As an adult woman, I had a person ghost me or like try to ghost me like 3 separate times, which was so funny because he was the one that was like, let's go out to coffee or whatever. And I was like, sure. Okay. Like, that's fine. And
fine.
And then he would bail. And I was like, okay, what the fuck? And then he did it again. And then he bailed again. And then he did it again. And then he bailed again. And then weeks later, he texted me because his ex-girlfriend was like suicidal. And knowing that I worked in mental health, he's like, what do I do? And I was like, bitch.
You don't ghost me. That's what you do.
I was like, I'm sorry. Is my therapy free? No. Except it was, because I was like, okay, well, a person is in crisis. But I was just like, what the fuck, bro? And then he asked me, he tried to ask me out again, and I was like, no. And then he moved to Chicago, and then every time I go home to Chicago and post on my Snap story, he, like, messages me, and I'm like, get away. So, like, communication is key. If you're not ready to go on a date with someone, or if you, like, don't want to go on a date with someone, don't ghost them 3 separate times when they're not the one putting the effort in. So I guess it's not really ghosting because I was just like, whatever.
I mean, yeah, is it ghosting? It's only ghosting if you care about it.
I was annoyed because he was like British, and so I was like, hell yeah. And he looked like Robert Pattinson, so I was like, hell yeah. But yeah, no.
It's only ghosting if
I'm
you
like,
give
you're
shit.
Not Robert Otherwise, Pattinson, so you don't get the honor to ghost me.
Right. Yeah, no.
But no. I will say it once and I will say it a million times. It is one of my many mantras that communication is key. Repeat after me. Communication is key. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
Thank you. You can stop now.
Okay.
So I will be stealing some thoughts from an article from Her Campus, because I am not a writer. So they communicate or they have written my thoughts perfectly. And they say, bum, ba, da, bum, if you can't talk openly and honestly with your partner about something as simple as your feelings, how are you going to talk to them about the big stuff? I hear more and more stories about couples who won't communicate their problems and just avoid each other instead, and in some cases even lie about the issue at hand, which will only make matters worse. When trying to communicate with your partner, it's important to be honest with them. If they ask you about something that they think is going on, it's best to tell the truth instead of lie. These conversations can be stressful, but they need to happen. It will serve both of you and your partner better in the long run, because a relationship based on lies is not a healthy one. If your significant other sees that they can get away with lying once, chances are they will continue to do so, no matter the circumstances. Honesty builds trust, which is another huge key in relationships.
Actually, related, one of my deep dives into looking at all of the communication relationships, how it works, how it's supposed to work, there was an article I found on Psychology Today that was all about, like, are you a bad communicator or are you a gaslighter, to loop it back to a somewhat recent episode. Yeah. And all of them were like, have you thought to yourself, it's easier for me to just lie to this and get away with it than it is to open that can of worms. You might be a gaslighter. It's easier for me to just lie about this and not hurt their feelings. And it was all like, this is borderline gaslighting or like light gaslighting. And you're probably doing shittier things if you think this behavior is okay. If you're lying to just gloss something over in your relationship, or lying to this day, I'm still very angry. And I still consider this the straw that broke the fucking camel's back in a previous relationship. We were out. I was doing brunch with people. We were having a good time. I was visiting my friend and him at the same time. I was out with that friend. He shows up to what we're doing. I expect him to have a good time. And instead he says to my friends, oh, we have dinner reservations. We have to go. And my friend's like, I'm so sad that you have to leave. And I'm like, what? She's like, oh, he said you have dinner reservations. I'm like, cool. He did an awesome thing to surprise me. That's awesome. I have a great boyfriend. And we exit the bar, in which the bar had mini golf in it. It was fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It had Washington, D.C. themed mini golf. I putted a ball into the Lincoln Memorial. It's fucking awesome. We leave this bar and I'm like, oh, what's the dinner plan? I didn't know this was happening. What kind of outfit do I need? Like, shit, man. He's like, oh, we don't have dinner reservations. I just wanted to leave.
Jesus.
I'm like, dude, a big old fucking fight.
I believe it.
I don't fight with significant others. I explain my feelings or ignore my feelings.
I was going to say, or you internalize.
Or I internalize. And we had a big fucking fight that came down to, why do you think you need to lie to my friends for anything? Why don't you come to me first? So if you're lying about things to gloss stuff over, get away with something, get out of situations, or just like benefit you, you're a shitty person, but also you're a gaslighter and you need to calm the fuck down. Mm-hmm. This has been the 50 Worst States podcast. That's your bad date of the day.
So, yeah, you know, that's terrible. And I think, honestly, the key to a truly successful relationship is communication. Because at the end of the day, like, if you're the type of person that's, you know, getting really mad about or is really upset about something but is refusing to like talk about it with your significant other, then the relationship's going to end because you're just going to build resentment. So I have a couple tips here on kind of how to communicate, especially this is kind of like if something is bothering you, because in my opinion, like, honesty is the best policy. So I just kind of communicate everything to my significant other. But obviously if you're upset about something, you kind of have to approach it a little bit more delicately, because, you know, there's a time and a place. You don't want to have a whole fucking blowout in the middle of a restaurant. So here's
outside H Street Country Club in Washington, D.C.
So cool. One of my biggest tips is to not argue with anyone. And these apply, you know, outside of like romantic relationships as well. One of my biggest tips is to not argue when either party is in any type of heightened emotional state. So this can be, you know, someone's angry, someone is pissed off, but the other person's in a really good mood. Like, it doesn't matter. Typically, it's a negative heightened emotion, but this will lead to a conversation that is dominated primarily by emotions, and neither party will be capable of thinking logically. As a Cancer sun and a Libra ascending, I'm an emotionally logical bitch, and I also have the emotional maturity of an 80-year-old And like I said, indeed, my job is all about communication.
And the body sometimes, yes.
And, you know, my job is all about verbal de-escalation and communication. So you can say I'm a little bit of an expert. But if your partner or, you know, the other person brings up the subject and you are not in a place where you can have that conversation calmly and reasonably, you need to take some time and space to think, reflect, and come back to the subject. And a good partner will be understanding of this. It might be frustrating. And this could be you as well, because you could be like, no, I'm ready to talk mm-hmm. about it now. And that person's like, I need some time to process.
And that's totally fair.
And I am the type of person where if someone royally pisses me off, I will like ice them out for a little bit because I just need time to think about it, because I will be so mad that you're just going to say things that you don't mean, that you're going to regret. And I like to reflect on situations and kind of look at the whole picture, you know, where are they coming from? What was their intention? What is the impact of this? How am I feeling because of this? So that way I can articulate my response and be like, you know, I know that you didn't mean to upset me this way or whatever, but you did. And this is how I feel because of your actions and like intent versus impact. And so conversations like Katie said, like arguments don't need to really happen because you can express how you're feeling without making someone go on the defensive.
Yeah. Quick vibe check, yeah. Man. Always positive.
And so, it's totally fair if someone is like getting all up in arms and being like, I'm not going to have this conversation with you while you're super upset. Or like, I'm super upset right now. I need some space to think. And then we can kind of touch base on it. I had a roommate when I was studying abroad who she like really upset me because she had bailed on like one of our planned trips or whatever. And I just was so pissed. And we were literally sharing the same room and I didn't talk to her for like 3 days because I was like, I need to process this because I'm so mad. And all I want to do is say terrible things that I don't mean.
And that's good to understand. Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, I schedule out my anger. I will function 100% for the entire day knowing I'm coming home to have a fight with someone. I did that in college. I've done that with significant others. Like, I will schedule out me being upset with you and just fuel it and let it sit and let me kind of place it into its logical bullet points, but it'll sit there and it'll get tabled until I'm back to being upset with you.
And yeah. And that doesn't mean that I'm not saying that I'm some like calm, like chill person all the time, but I really try to reflect, like have calm things, but some things really like hurt and things like that. And you need to be able to articulate it where you're not going to fucking cry when you get upset, because that's me.
Yeah.
But my friend who I was upset with, God bless her, she's one of my good friends to this day. It was actually Alex who was on our polyamorous episode. She, you know, I talked to her a few days later, kind of told her what happened. And then she was like, you know, I knew that you needed your space. And she gave me my space. And I really appreciated that. She was very understanding. She knew that like she upset me. And I was like, you know, I know that shit happens, but it just kind of sucks. And it was fine. And like, our friendship, you know, stayed strong, all that jazz. So, Alex, if you're listening, love you always. But yeah, so, you know, trying not to have discussions and like serious discussions too when either party is in a heightened emotional state. And that's something that I've actually recently told two people who I'm close with, because they were upset with their significant other and then they were like texting them and then they were like arguing about it via text. And I was like, y'all need to fucking put your fucking phones down and talk about it later. Like you're both upset. One of them was like crying and I was like,
No, this is not worth anybody's time via text message. I understand people's like kind of motivation to fight via text message. I get having receipts and being able to like edit your words is important. but no. Yeah.
So tip number two is holding in concerns in a relationship, as previously mentioned, will lead to the big bang. If you have something that's bothering you, you need to communicate it. Keeping in feelings will only lead to resentment and constant bickering. Trust me. If you find yourself being upset with a significant other, especially because obviously this is a dating podcast. So if you find yourself being upset because, you know, your significant other, he does this one thing that they do this one thing that piss you off constantly, or, you know, they're not being attentive to you, or like something that's like not that, and like chewing your food a certain way is not as big of an issue of like someone not being as attentive to you, or, you know, making you feel appreciated. Like this different levels of concern. But, you know, say the issue is, you know, hey, I feel like this person is not appreciating me or not treating me as well as I should be treated. And then you're not talking to them about it. So then like they breathe wrong and you start fighting, you know, they're brushing their teeth for not 2 minutes and you're yelling.
If this person is completely unaware that you're upset with them.
But it's not,
because
it's not even just that though. It's just kind of every little thing is just going to piss you off because you're upset with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So,
no, but I've also had like, and I'll admit to this, like being upset with someone and they have no idea. They think that everything's fine and it gets to that level because I just don't either know or want to communicate what the issue is. And they're going on along with their happy way. And I'm just seething that they are happy.
I think a lot of people have done that, but I think the issue that people get into is, oh, I want to know how long it takes them to figure out that I'm upset.
No, it's a fucking mind reading.
And but that's the thought process. Is it's like, if you really know me, you'll know that I'm upset. No, bitch. We aren't fucking mind readers. This applies to literally anyone, man, woman, non-binary. Yeah. I don't fucking care. We are not mind readers. And so
the only person that's gonna take care of you as good as you is you. And otherwise you need to direct people to how to take care of you.
And you can't.
It's not romantic, but it's true.
And you can't get upset with someone for not knowing that you're upset if you're not telling them that you're upset. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm guilty of this. A lot of people are guilty with this, but you are a fucking adult. Cut that shit out. Mm-hmm. Tip number three, which Katie kind of talked about already. Do not fucking talk about issues that like not face to face. Face-to-face communication is apparently dying, but don't be a dumb bitch and pick a fight over text because it's petty, it's immature, and it's going to get you nowhere. Sometimes I understand, like, there are exceptions to every rule, of course. Sometimes it's easier to bring things up over text because of anxiety, because of, you know, whatever issues. But you have to do your best to personalize, like, to make that conversation personal. Because a text is so impersonal, and
if you can't hear somebody's voice or look them in the eye, I don't think your message gets across nearly as well.
Like at the very least, have a phone call.
Yeah, at the very least, have a phone call, FaceTime, video chat, Skype.
Yeah, and
knock on their door, go to their house. Like, if you have an issue and it is a serious issue that you need to get across, you need to communicate that in interpersonal way so they understand the gravity of it. Because I can really write off the context of a text message if you say like, oh, I'm mad, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. Oh, okay, are they mad, or are they like, I'm mad, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks? What is the context there? It doesn't come across in a text message. Enunciation is important. Emphasis is important.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
emphasis.
I think 70-80% of communication is done non-verbally. So a text message is not going to convey any of that. You're not going to get your paraverbals. You're not going to get anything. So it's really hard to understand what a person means. And it's so easy to like, that's when it gets really easy to make jabs and say things you don't mean because it's so informal. And, you know, it's going to be harder to talk shit about someone to their face than it is over text. Because you can easily text someone and be like, you're a fucking piece of shit. But, like, to their face, you're not going to be like, you're a fucking piece. Like, you're going to have
much more. You got to be real angry to call them a fucking piece of shit to their face. Unless you're a fucking piece of shit yourself. Exactly. Who knows?
But my last tip is to trust your intuition. If something doesn't feel right, believe it. No matter how small, follow your gut. And talk about it, because a little thing could manifest and, you know, fester into a larger issue. So even if it's the smallest thing, just be like, hey, I really didn't like how you said this. It made me feel this way. And I think another big thing is, if someone says or does something that is upsetting to you, it's important to think about intention versus impact. You know, they might not intend their intention was probably good, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
The impact, maybe not so much. And so it's important to say, hey, I know you didn't mean to, you know, come off this way, but when you said this thing, it made me feel like this. Because no one can tell you how they made you feel. No one can take ownership of that except you, because those are your feelings and they're valid no matter what a person's intentions were. So I think communicating that, like, hey, I know you meant well, but what you said really hurt me. So maybe say it differently next time or whatever. And having that conversation, because two of the sexiest things are good communication and honesty. And like, I want someone to fucking prove me wrong on that, because those are probably the sexiest qualities of a person, is being able to communicate well and being honest and open.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are my tips on how to be a better communicator in a relationship.
Hell yeah, man. You did it.
And
you solved relationships.
Look at us, relationship heroes. Let me grab my phone real quick so I can get our listener mail.
Oh, boy. Ooh. Oh, boy.
It's very short, which is good.
Yes.
I don't have a long listener mail. So I posted on Instagram for my story. I said, ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-dum.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
I said something about, like, tell me, like, a communication mishap that happened in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So this person said, I was at Lou Fest, which is a music, like a small music fest, like day music festival here in St. Louis. I think it's a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner kept calling me and was leaving messages that she was in a fight with her friend, and it made me really anxious and worry about something I couldn't control, which kept me from enjoying the music. And then when I got back, she and her friend were literally fine.
Yeah.
So there was that. And I was like, that fucking sucked. And he was like, yeah, that was not fun. And apparently, it even gets better to the breakup. So he was like, yeah, it wasn't fun. She's better now as a friend. And he said, yeah, it got bumpy towards the end. And like, I couldn't actually break up with her, even though I definitely needed to. And I ended up indirectly doing it in person just with her around.
What?
Yeah. So all in all, sounds like that relationship did not have good communication. So moral.
Great example of bad communication.
Exactly. So like I said, short and sweet, but like, first of all, if you are not having a crisis, don't ruin someone's time at a music festival, because that's a sin.
Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Right?
And second of all, if you need to break up with someone, do it directly and do it in person. Unless they're like abusive assholes, then you can do it however you want. But if it's like a normal, non-problematic relationship, but it just needs to end, do it in person. And if you can, because obviously sometimes you can't.
It is fucking wild, but yes. Do it in person.
But yeah. So on that note, Katie, what is your happy ending this week?
Wow. I just went through about half a second of all of my traumas. Ooh, ooh. All right. My happy ending this week is, is it my cross stitching? It is my cross stitching. It's always the stitching. It's always the stitching. My happy ending this week is that I'm doing a cross stitch of the Kermit sipping tea meme. And it's glorious. And I'm going to like frame it probably. And that there was 50% off chocolates at CVS today. And I totally went and hooked it up for myself.
Proud of you.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
My happy ending is that I had Taco Bell for dinner.
I'm so happy.
I went to the gym and then I went straight to Taco Bell and it was great.
I mean, sometimes you just got to do that for yourself.
Hell yeah. I was like, girl, I think I'm PMSing. My titties hurt. So maybe. Oof. Yeah. It's,
maybe.
So maybe. I don't know. They could hurt for other reasons, but I'm pretty sure it's because my Fitbit told me my period was supposed to be starting. And I was like, interesting.
Interesting. Because I feel like that's early for you.
It is. Yeah. Because I was like, I just had one.
Yeah.
My period's off track because of IUD and Accutane and all that bullshit. So, yeah.
There you go.
But alas.
I was going to say, because I had mine, so you should be fine.
Yeah, because I had mine like I guess I did have it almost a month ago, I guess.
Wow, it's been so long already.
I know.
Wow.
Anyway.
Anywho.
If you would like to submit your own worst date, horror story, sex mishap, or boner blunder.
Or feel put free yourself to submit- on our period calendar.
Hey, feel free to submit named or anonymous stories to 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs at 50worstdatespod on Instagram. If you think we are valid sources for advice and want to ask questions, we'll take those emails and DMs as well.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is to be feature episodes after stories that are not our own. We haven't been on that many bad dates or had that many traumatic incidents. I don't know. Thank God. If you love our music, it's from bensound.com, and if you love our cover art, it's by Tori Scranton. You can find her at T Scranton Art on Instagram and Etsy. And that's our show this week, guys. Next week, we're going to be Merriam-Webster and define all the bullshit sex terms you didn't think you needed to know. I'm real excited about it. I do it for you, baby.
Proud of you. Thank you. I love you.
I love you. Good night.
Good night.